Legal News and Review is back on the air. I'm Philip Bell, moderator for the program, along with Charles Moorhead and Gary Singer. Employment law and workman's comp sometimes go hand in hand. We're very pleased to present from Kelly Cronenberg Law Firm, Angelo Filippi, who focuses his practice on labor and employment law, along with Heath Escalio. His practice focuses on workman's compensation. These are exciting times we live in. And first of all, I want to say good evening to Heath. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you.
And Angelo, good evening.
Good evening, Phil.
Appreciate you guys taking the time to come in and educating us in the ever-changing field from workman's comp with Heath and, of course, labor law, which covers a host of things. But they do sometimes go hand in hand. And speaking with Heath originally, he suggested that we consider having you come on because it seems that the practice goes hand in hand. Is that correct, Heath?
Absolutely. Angelo is my wingman. Oftentimes, we are defending workers' compensation claims, and several issues do arise during the course of litigation, ranging from a retaliatory discharge action to overtime wage and hour issue, an EEOC, and I certainly have to defer to my partner Angelo to come in and assist our clients.
But when it comes to workman's comp, Ron Gunsberger, that was just on, works with you in particular and your law firm. And that's a municipality. And again, we're talking about workman's comp at this time.
Correct.
And I never thought that would be an issue within the public sector.
Sure. Ron is, we have a great relationship with Ron Gunsberger as well as Sheriff Israel, and we have the privilege of representing Broward Sheriff in the defense of workers' compensation and some general liability issues. And it's a dangerous job that the deputies have, and unfortunately they get injured, and that's when we step in and represent the interests of the organization.
Now, Heath, you serve as principal partner and chief financial officer for the firm.
Correct.
As well as you are still a practicing attorney.
I am.
And how long have you actually been practicing law here in South Florida?
I've been a practicing attorney for 22 years and just about 20 with Kelly Cronenberg.
Wow. Wow, so, that says a lot to me.
It's been a long stint.
Yeah, it has been. And always within South Florida, because you have different locations, correct?
Correct. We have 9 locations throughout Florida, statewide, from Miami all the way up north to Tallahassee and the Panhandle and everywhere in between. And our one outside office is in Chicago.
Now, what constitutes workman's compensation? What constitutes a claim?
Well, it's an on-the-job injury that, unfortunately, an employee sustains. But, of course, the contingency is that it occurs in the course and scope of his or her employment. And with that, the employer, the business owner, receives protection from getting sued in liability. So it stays within a workers' comp courtroom as opposed to the big courthouses that we probably are all familiar with and we see on TV. It's governed by an administrative law judge. There are no jury trials, but the administrative judge is your fact finder as well. Kind of goes through that process.
Well, it's funny because when I talk to people when I'm producing and I say workman's comp, and they say workman's comp, and they said, isn't that kind of like the insurance when someone gets injured? I said, yeah. And they asked me to ask you, what's the difference between workman's comp and personal injury?
It's actually a question and an issue we have to address pretty much at every mediation we attend because oftentimes, again, we represent the businesses. And we engage in negotiations with an employee, or they're known as claimants in my world. Right. And although they are represented by counsel, it often takes the mediator to explain to the injured employee that it's a very different system. In other words, there's no money for pain and suffering. So that is key, whereas one, if an employee gets injured, and let's hypothetically say a catastrophic injury, they, of course, incur a lot of money in medical bills. They have lost wages. But the other thing that often affects them is family. How does it affect their livelihood? How does it affect their relationship with their spouse, their children? how much pain are they truly in, how much suffering are they actually engaging in. However, unfortunately for them, as the law of the land here is in Florida, that's irrelevant because the law does not allow an award for money for one's suffering or pain in a workers' compensation system. That's where the biggest difference in liability.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that the employee won't have other remedies given the type of accident they're in, be it an automobile accident, a product liability injury, or something like that. There can be companion or co-cases, if you will.
There can, under very limited circumstances. The workers' comp remedy is the election of remedies. So that's where they have to elect first to pursue their entitlement to benefits. There's, however, an exception, as I believe you're leading to there, and that exception is if the action or the conduct by the employer is so negligent, so tortious, that they're able to actually pierce the workers' comp immunity and then sue that same employer in circuit court and go after the damages as pain and suffering.
No, I made a left at Albuquerque. Follow me here. But if an employee is injured in a forklift accident,
right,
and the fork falls off and crushes his foot, and then he has a comp claim, he may also have a very good product liability claim against the manufacturer or retailer of the forklift.
Absolutely.
Sure. So that's a case where you would have separate lawyers, generally, and the employer would be looking to get their money back from the comp side of things, but the claimant now becomes a plaintiff in the civil action.
Absolutely.
And tries to recover his pain and suffering damages that way.
Correct. And we welcome that because, as you mentioned, we have subrogation rights against any recovery that the plaintiff may have in that third-party suit.
Let me ask Emil this, Gary. I'm a little bit clueless in this area of law. I'm happy to admit that. I'm not happy to
admit
it. But
I don't know real estate. That's why you're the expert.
Isn't workers' comp though insurance? Like, what's all this going on? Isn't this just an insurance policy that pays out to help people get hurt on the job?
It is insurance. You are provided it by a carrier. You pay obviously a very handsome premium in the state of Florida. However, with that said, there's all different types of policies. There's a self-insured policy where large corporations, it's dollar for dollar their money. There's large retention where it will hit a certain threshold and then their money kicks in, say $250,000 or $500,000 a claim. And then you have pure retro pay or where the carrier pays everything. However, the more frequency an employer has and the more money that's paid out on every claim affects their mod rate. So when they're up for renewal, it goes up and up. Kind of just like an automobile. You keep getting speeding tickets, your automobile carrier is going to hit you year after year with rate increases.
Sure, but where's the lawyer come in? Like, if I get in a car wreck, I don't need a lawyer to get my money from, Allstate or whatever.
I don't know where you live.
Yeah.
Sometimes you do, but the point I'm making is, why is this like a lawyer thing?
Sure. Well, oftentimes, I think as we just mentioned, certainly advertising plays a role in it. We see all the billboards and TV commercials of, why one needs a lawyer when they're injured on the job. But oftentimes, employees, from my perspective of what I hear representing the employers, employees get frustrated. They feel that their medical is not up to par. It's slow in them getting their benefits. Perhaps they feel that they're not getting the appropriate lost wages. And oftentimes, they're just confused. They don't understand that there are limitations in the workers' compensation law. Because to go back to the point where we were, they think pain and suffering and the pot of gold is always there, but workers' comp is different.
So is the employer and the insurer different in this?
No. In workers' comp, it's actually one of the unique areas where you actually represent the employer/carrier. So I serve two clients simultaneously, and what you hope for is that there's no conflict that arises where your carrier wants to perhaps go down one road and your employer wants to go down the other.
Great.
All right, Heath, I'm coming straight at you picking a bone here, all right? Why is it that carriers and employers routinely, overwhelmingly insist that somebody who's been injured resign if they're going to settle their work comp claim with them?
Sure. Great question. Very relevant in pretty much every case we handle. And you would think that it really wouldn't be such a hot topic, especially because the workers' compensation carriers often don't insure the risk for the employer on employment matters. However, what often happens is if you settle a workers' comp case, and you offer, let's hypothetically say, $50,000 for a settlement, and they accept, that employee then goes right back to the job, is on the payroll, and starts telling his buddies, hey, you could get injured, and then you could settle, get some money, still keep your job, and life goes on very happily. The other issue that carriers have is they don't want to insure the same risk. So the guy that they just paid for the back surgery, they don't want him going back to that same employer, lifting that same box, and having another injury. And then they're back at square one, paying out all those benefits. So that's the basis for it.
You know, we have Angelo Felipe here, and you work hand-in-hand with him. And talk about safety, and I do have several other questions regarding employment law, wage and hour, and so forth. But Occupational Safety and Health Act, that's called OSHA. People call it OSHA. Am I correct?
That's correct. Yes.
Right. Now, within your labor law practice, how does this affect for employment law? What does this do to govern? I would think this would be more within Heath's practice.
Well, OSHA is an entirely different animal than the workers' comp system. OSHA is regulated by the federal government, and they have standards. And I'm going to take the forklift situation, because that, I think, is the perfect example of what a potential OSHA issue, where a potential OSHA issue can arise. Let's say the employer failed to maintain that forklift, and that's why that prong fell off and injured the worker.
Or flat out removed the guard
for
expediency.
Exactly. And so, you know, again, and you look at the whether or not there's a claim against the employer other than the workers' comp system. It's possible if the employee in that situation was grossly negligent, they could breach the workers' comp immunity and get directly to the employer in a liability situation. But with respect to OSHA, to answer your question directly, the OSHA standards regulated by the federal government is a very unique practice. And OSHA and the workers' comp system generally don't mix. You are an employer. You're required to maintain certain safety standards in the workplace. Keep your employees safe by making sure that they have fall protection, or making sure that the guardrails are up, or making sure that all the equipment is working properly, whatever it may be. The standards are about 1,000 pages long. And it's difficult sometimes for employers to go through that quagmire and figure out exactly what they need to do. And that's where we come in. We help employers to determine what the standards are within their particular industry, what the hazards are within their industry, and how to comply.
There's sort of a federal watchdog, if you will, and you all oversee your employer's compliance with their regulations.
We oversee compliance. We tell them how to deal with OSHA issues once they arise, and then we can also litigate the cases should they disagree with OSHA in terms of what the potential violations were.
So you're fighting with employees, you're fighting with the government?
No, we're fighting with the government.
Okay.
Yeah. But you traditionally, right now, you represent employers.
I represent employers exclusively,
and
yes.
Employers, typically, they want to do the right thing for their employees.
Absolutely.
But that doesn't always happen. And so when you come into play, you have to educate your employers of what is the standard policies. Gary recently took over a firm that's a title company, and it's called Gibraltar. And he had a staff, and I'm sure that he had to put new handbooks together and things along those lines.
No, we don't have any policies.
You don't have
kind of I see where you're going with
you. Need my help.
Yeah, we like you.
Yeah.
But that's what you do in terms of a council. That's why I want our listeners to understand, those that are business owners, those are the services you have to offer. If someone calls you as an employee, you would refer them, obviously, to another firm, because you don't handle that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very difficult for employers nowadays. Let's take the workers' comp example again. Mm-hmm. Heath was mentioning that there are interactions in the workers' comp system with other laws, and for example, you have a worker who's injured in the workplace, and he's unable to work for more than 3 days. He may be covered by the Family Medical Leave Act. And so now you have family medical leave issues that are involved. He may also be covered by the Americans with Disabilities Act, depending upon the severity of the impairment. And so now you have to deal with the Family Medical Leave Act, the Americans with Disabilities Act, and the workers' compensation system. And there are conflicts between those laws in terms of what employers can require employees to do in those circumstances, and what the rights of employees are.
Well, you educate about employment discrimination or wrongful termination litigation. Now, as far as I understand, we're in the right-to-work state, or sometimes it's known as an at-will state, I guess, and that's for those that are part of, I guess, labor unions?
In terms of labor unions, yeah. The right-to-work state or an at-will state means that you can either the employer or the employee can terminate the relationship at any time. From the employer's perspective, that termination is at will at any time as long as the reason for the termination is not illegal.
Mm-hmm. Well, we only have really 4 minutes left, but go ahead, Charles.
I just wanted to briefly ask Heath. We're giving short shrift, really, to Kelly Cronenberg. I mean, your firm is much more than just these two areas. What other areas do you all handle?
Sure. Well, I appreciate that. We have about 30 practice areas, again, specialized mainly in insurance defense litigation, representing the interests of employers from, as obviously Angelo, with employment, OSHA, workers' comp, general liability, a lot of commercial business litigation disputes.
You guys even do some family law, though. Tracy Newmark is there, right?
We do. Oh, Tracy was a new acquisition and just part of the family. She's awesome.
Yes, Dan Losey's there. He's doing police work with you all, right?
Dan is my partner. I hate to say partner in crime, but we are partners representing BSO, and Dan and I have a long history. We're former prosecutors together, and he's a great asset to represent a lot of police organizations.
Well, you know, your firm is well known for attorneys that we let them know who's coming on, and they say, wow, they say they're one of the best. You have a great reputation. People have to really know somebody that knows you because you don't market, you don't advertise. You do, of course, do education. And as a matter of fact, Angelo Felipe is known for his education outreach as well. For different employers. But again, there's many issues like wage and hour. I wish we did have more time. One issue is if I worked and I worked overtime and while I'm making a good salary, let's say $80,000 a year, but I'm not a manager, I'm not a director, and I get fired, I could get angry and come after my employer for extra money for the wage and hour for overtime.
Absolutely. One of the biggest issues litigated against employers right now is overtime. Many employers have difficulties in determining how to classify an employee as exempt or non-exempt, and misclassification is something that could be extremely costly because the wage hour statute is one that provides for automatic fees when a claimant obtains any relief. And so I'm a claimant who has been misclassified and may be, mm-hmm. An administrative person in an organization making $80,000 a year doing some significant administrative work, but I'm not managing anybody and I'm not doing significant business, making significant business judgments. And so I'm misclassified and now I'm owed overtime because I work 50 hours a week.
Well, let me ask you probably the most important question, Angela. I can still work my associate attorneys at least 3,000 hours a year?
Absolutely. Professionals.
Safe.
Professionals are exempt. Absolutely.
That's what's most important coming out
Absolutely.
Of this. I appreciate that.
You know, within both your practice, I can see how you complement each other. You work well off of each other as well. And within your practice in within Fort Lauderdale or within Broward County as well, what is the best way to contact your firm?
Very good. Anybody can feel free to reach out to me at 954-370-9970. Or check us out. Our website is Kelly Cronenberg. It's K-E-L-L-E-Y, Cronenberg, K-R-O-N-E-N-B-E-R-G.com. And all of our info, our bios, our cell numbers, our beautiful photos, they're all there.
You beat me to it. Cell phone numbers as well.
Right.
And Heath, did you want to give out your contact information?
My contact information is the same.
I know.
Absolutely.
Angela. I'm sorry, Angela.
That's all right. No problem.
Oh, it's been one of those days, gentlemen. As always, I wish we had more time. You have dynamic practices and the transition within, let alone workman's comp over the years. Correct me if I'm wrong before we go. In legislation before, and I think coming up again, there is a change. Am I correct?
There may be. In fact, this in the next few days, we're coming up to the annual workers' comp convention where the whole industry goes up to Orlando, and everybody's really waiting for a decision, and the decision is depending on an attorney fee issue. And if it goes the way the plaintiff bar is hoping, unfortunately for my clients, litigation will be on the uptick,
because it will then move away from a statutory fee to hourly fee, and
wow.
that will create a lot of litigation on very minor issues.
Well, from the firm Kelly Cronenberg, we had Angelo Felipe. Appreciate you coming on.
Pleasure being here.
And Heath Escalio. Did I pronounce your last name right?
Perfect. Thanks
good, so
much.
Charles won't have to hit me.
And Charles, what's the sheriff's name again?
Oh, what's the sheriff? Don't start, Gary. We do have to take, I'm saved by the break. You're listening to Legal News and Review. I'm Philip Bell, the moderator, along with host Charles Moorhead and Gary Singer. I got your name right.
I appreciate it.
And we're going to be coming right back.